You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself.
Get some
people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com, and I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It is the weekend, living for the weekend. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, will do, and I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it, but if it isn't, you'll get it done anyway. Well, pretty much if you're in the Southeast, you probably can get it done. It may be difficult if you're in that tornado alley, anywhere from Texas all the way up into the Midwest. Man, they have been getting swamped. Wow. Man, they have been, levees are breaking, bridges are breaking, cars are flooded. It's sad. And of course, hopefully the death toll will always be minimal, but reality of it is, it's very difficult. So pray for those people, no doubt, no doubt. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives, timeforanawakening.com. Up above, look for other programming. Hit on that. And the first one is African Perspectives. Hit on that. And then follow that to previously recorded programs that are dated and titled. And we want to thank my good brother, Brother Elliot, and Brother Scotty Reed. So, other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But right after our program on Mondays and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Mondays and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. On Monday evenings from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia. Acres of Diamonds. Right after Acres of Diamonds from 8 to 9, Let's Buy Black 365. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, also from 8 to 10 on Wednesdays. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy, 7 p.m. on Thursdays. Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Elliot, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an awakening. Saturday, tomorrow, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it ain't me. It is Sister POC and her program, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bamani Tayemba is ready to leave next week, Wednesday. He is going to Ghana, West Africa. He has about 30, a little over 30 people. I think he's about 30 people, a good bus load. And, they're leaving Wednesday the 22nd and returning June 4th. They'll get all around. They're going to stay a few days in Accra, the capital city, Kumasi, and Cape Coast, and also go to the Ancestral Wall, which is east of the town called Pram Pram, and my good brother Jerry Johnson. So Brother Bomani is going to really have an exciting tour for the brothers and sisters. Also visit Garvey Town, at least the plans of it and the land of it. And so if you want to know more about AfricaForTheAfricans.org, also, too, they have two other trips. They're going November 22nd. That's a lot of time from now that you can plan for you if you want to be a part of it, November 22nd to December 2nd. They're going to Cape Town and Johannesburg in South Africa. And then at the end of December, December 24th, January 4th, 2020, they're going back to Ghana, West Africa. And so you can be a part of that as well if you so wish, by contacting Brother Bomani. The number to call is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. And check the brother out. And, of course, maybe you could be a part of an upcoming trip that Brother Bomani, he has taken literally hundreds, maybe thousands, because he's been doing it for quite a while. So I appreciate Brother Bomani and the work that he's done and the work that he is doing to bring our people and to help understand that we need to invest and we need to know more. We need to repatriate those of us who want to do so. All those things are necessary. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Check it out. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. If you are in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. And they have laundry. And everything that is sold is produced by us. It is produced by us. So we have laundry detergents, razors, batteries, toothbrushes, lotions, deodorant, all kinds of good stuff. So, and go online and check it out, WeBuyBlack.com. And if you're in the Atlanta area, come check out the Greenbrier Mall and the kiosk they have there. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End area. The Shrine of the Black Madonna opened Wednesdays through Saturdays from 12 to 7, and on Sundays from 1 to 3. And they have furniture, clothing, the red, black, and green shoes. And, of course, they have books and they have artwork. They have Kwanzaa kits, you name it. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. And they also have a African history class, Know Thyself, every Saturday, tomorrow, free and open to the public, 1:30 to 3:30. 1:30 to 3:30 at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The workshops being conducted by Brother Olatunji. That's an outstanding job. But if you cannot make it, but you want that information, you want that knowledge, you may have kids, you may just want it for yourself, they do have a multimedia library that you can purchase. That is right. The most extensive cultural library of its kind. It has over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is, brothers and sisters, 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. That's right. So you can go ahead and get your knowledge on. Another bookstore in the Atlanta area. And we are fortunate to have some bookstores in the Atlanta area. I know some places don't have bookstores no more. They have closed simply because we don't patronize them. And of course, I can get my stuff online, or I can get an ebook and so forth. I understand the technology. But the other bookstore is Meddu Bookstore, and the Meddu Bookstore is in the Greenbrier Mall, and that bookstore is near the kiosk of We Buy Black. So check out the Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. If they don't have the book there that you're looking for, believe me, they'll get it for you. The other bookstore that I promote is Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. In Lithonia, my good friend Kazimde, Brother Kazimde Jamu, the proprietor, and the number to call is 405-519-8107, 405-519-8107. And at the Black Dot, they also have the red, black, and green shoes, T-shirts, and so forth. I would be doing a presentation at the Black Dot next week, Friday. next week, Friday the 24th, 7 p.m. at the Block Dot. And, of course, the address is 6984 Main Street in Lithonia, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. And that'll be 7 p.m. next Friday. The presentation deals with our history. It is a journey. It is called Our Journey to Historical Greatness, Our Journey to Historical Greatness, and African Perspective. A view from us to our historical greatness. And believe me, it's if you can find the time and you can come down to the Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta, off of I-20, believe me, it'll be worth your while. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. So as we like to say, family-centered economics. They have their program every Thursday night. Ulu, the Thursday night broadcast, 9 p.m. Last night was the broadcast, and the number to call was 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And, of course, we pulled our monies together, and we have develop a cafe here in Atlanta. Cafe Ulu, located 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. Open Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have coffee. That's right, we sell coffee. African coffees. Cameroon, which is my favorite. Cameroon boy oil is a delicious coffee. Tanzanian, Kenya, Ethiopia, and much more. Nicaraguan. In fact, a brother was in with some coffee from Angola. We also have coffee from Panama and Brazil and so forth. And we also have loose teas. Everything that is sold at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. The potato chips, Symphony Potato Chips, a brother and his two daughters. The two dough girls, the cookies, cakes, and, oh, of course, we have bean pie, delicious bean pie. That's right, supreme bean pie out of Chicago. You know it's good. So we also have delicious drinks, and one of the drinks is Ambrosia. Brother Noviak Young's delicious Vitality drink, Ambrosia, and it's made with alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, cane sugar, organic cane sugar, chlorophyll, hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina, and it's just delicious Vitality drink. Here's another drink that hopefully we'll have an opportunity to premiere with us. Akabin Institute, Brother Baba Baruti and Yah Baruti are doing an outstanding job of educating our young warriors, and they need your support. Akabin, A-K-O-B-E-N, Akabin Institute. Write your checks, money orders to Akabin Institute. Mail them to P.O. Box 10786, 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you like to use PayPal or Cash App, just put in the dollar sign and Yah, Y-A-A-M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Or you can go to paypal.me/Akabin Village. They definitely need to be supported. Also, too, the Complementarity Conference is coming up. We need each other, celebrating African love. May 31st and June 1st at the Sweet Spot, located 675 Metropolitan Parkway in Atlanta, just east of the West End, right off of Ralph David Abernathy. You make that turn off Ralph David Abernathy onto Metropolitan Parkway on your right. Bam, there it is. Okay, the 5th Annual Complementarity Conference. Friday will be the 31st from 8 to 11 will be a community meet and greet. And then Saturday will be the conference. Let's stay together, establishing and maintaining relationships. We need that. We need each other, brothers and sisters, from 2 to 6 p.m. That's May 31st, meet and greet, and then Saturday, June 1st, the conference. Juneteenth Day, June 5th, 14th, 15th, and 16th, that weekend, Juneteenth Day, we got parades and so forth. They're going to be by the stadium, by the Mercedes Stadium. So it's going to be something great, and you want to check that out. Juneteenth Day. Juneteenth Day is June 19th. I know in Milwaukee, we celebrate Juneteenth Day on June 19th. Also, too, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. My good brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad fellow past president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, as I. He has been doing this program for quite a few years, helping our people understand the things that they need to do to prepare for the disasters that may be forthcoming. Disaster awareness for community preparedness. And the number to call, 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. The Daily Union Sesem. The Daily Revolutionary Thoughts. Union Sesem. I'm going to read. I'm going to read yesterday's, today's, and then tomorrow's, and Sunday's. All 4 days. And the reason why, I would probably read them anyway, but definitely the reason why is because there are people who have a quote who I highly respect. Dr. Sheikh Anjan Jop, Dr. Joseph Ben-Jochanan, Marvin Gaye, and Ossie Davis. May 16th. In the face of cultural aggression of all sorts, in the face of all disingenuating factors of the outside world, the most efficient cultural weapon with which a people can arm itself is the feeling of historical continuity. Dr. Sheikh Anjan Jop. Awareness of, and for those who are listening for the first time, I'm reading from the book Inye Sesem of Revolutionary Daily Thoughts by Baba Baruti. And I read a quote and then he gives a narrative of the quote. Awareness of our story is the umbilical cord to our true selves. And the strength of its vital connection to our source and sanity is dependent on the depth and dynamicism of our understanding of our story. If we want to find our way back home, and indeed we must, if we are to gain and maintain an African sanity, we must not only know our story, but we must also live it, building the present into the future upon the beneficial patterns of the past. Living in this place, this dead, whitewashed cultural wasteland, we know that this is a task most Africans would easily fail. For we innately know that as an aliens, anti-African cultural space, and we recognize the innumerable crimes committed against our African minds. At the same time, we also know that to submit to this insanity is to tear the only umbilical cord we have to whom we are naturally of. Any other lifeline is nothing more than an electrified razor wire. Affirm, I have shielded myself within the security of African culture. Affirm, I have shielded myself within the security of African culture. May 17th. Religion is a deification of a people's culture, Dr. Joseph Ben-Jochanan. We have been taught to see love and hate as opposites. We find it extremely difficult to imagine how loving human, but at the same time, hating those individuals who bring nothing but destruction and chaos to humanity. Europeans have made Jesus Christ a hero to use only because elevating this mentality has our personal political philosophy saved them from and not us. Because those of us who claim Christianity view Jesus Christ's ultimate sacrifice as a spiritual gift of possible salvation to those who despise him. And because they use him as a model for at least their verbal behavior, it places us in an inevitable position of needing to sacrifice ourselves to save our destroyers. It places us in a philosophical, unsound, no-win situation. We are moved to place ourselves in harm's way, to betray those closest to us who would act against our enemies, those betraying our Christ, to forgive whatever is done to us as acts of those who just do not understand what they do and to operate suicidally in the presence of our enemies. We want to be Christ, attention-wise. We want to be the one glorified for the ultimate sacrifice. The biggest prize, the biggest fame would come from saving the bringers of chaos and destruction by allowing them to kill us in the name of Christ. We selfishly give ourselves in the hope that our death will guide them to see their wrong and lead them to beg us for forgiveness. That ain't happening. This seemingly unselfish act would, of course, also guarantee our entry into an otherworldly heaven. Affirm, I believe in nothing that would lead me to sacrifice myself to my enemies. Affirm, I believe in nothing that would lead me to sacrifice myself to my enemies. May 18th. An artist, if he is truly an artist, is only interested in one thing, and that is to wake up the minds of men. Marvin Gaye. The album What's Going On is one of the most profound African musical creations ever. Mercy, Mercy Me, Inner City Blues, Save the Children, and the title song are only a few of the cuts that awaken the deafened consciousness of so many Africans blindly spiraling headfirst into the abyss of colorless, identityless, blameless, initiative insanityness. After listening to his brother upon his return from the European war against the Vietnamese and against the better wishes of his producer, Brother Marvin composed a masterpiece of consciousness that only the genius of a supreme musical warrior could have created to wake up the minds of a people. Sadly, so few of today's music talent has seen fit to wake up African minds. Even sadder are those defending the Europeans' appropriation of our music as if it belongs to them or is somehow evident of being us. This historical self-serving pattern is clear. Once they neutralize the political force that sets revolutionary thoughts in motion, they exploit the motion as if it were something they originally created or embraced. Nevertheless, today there are still true warrior artists like Professor Griff, Dead Prez, Static Man, Talib Kweli, Paris, Nas, Unified Front, Precise Science, Shaka, and Moro, who have taken on the responsibility of giving us lyrics dedicated to our ancestors' future. They should be honored for having acted on the courage to wake us up. Affirm, I studied the genius of our artistic messengers of consciousness. Affirm, I study the genius of our artistic messengers of consciousness. Sunday, May 19th, the birthday of Malcolm, the birthday of El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Brother Omar Wali, Malcolm X. If you knew him, you would know why we must honor him. Malcolm was our manhood, our living black manhood. This was his meaning to his people. Ozzie Davis. We speak in honor of those African warrior scholars who have consistently proven their worth. We speak in honor of those whose feet we humbly sit and study so that we can learn how to be warriors, warriors for our people. We speak in honor of those Jegnas. Jegna, J-E-N-O-C-H, Jegna. That's a word we should use in place of mentor. Mentor was a Greek figure, was a Greek man who took Odysseus' son and, of course, abused him physically, sexually. While Odysseus, or what's the other name for him, was out the Odyssey, went on his Odyssey. Yeah, so that's why we should never use the word mentor. And I know that we do mentoring program, I understand. But once we know, we should change. Use the word Jegna, which means the same thing, to teach the young, to help the young understand their responsibility as they go into adulthood. they go into their manhood. We speak and honor those Jagnas who know no way other than that of our ancestors, who have done and continue to do all and more in their power to confront, battle, and destroy any who would take the knowledge of the third eye from our children. We speak and honor those who unhesitatingly fight, and will forever do battle for us, simply because we are their people, our children, and their children, our spirit, are one. We speak and honor those who have unerringly paved a way on the battlefield, who made a way when we could not see our ignorance and near comatose submission, who stood alone when we were too afraid or ignorant to answer the war horn. This praise song is for those who, once conscious, have not committed treason against their ancestors, who consistently stayed on the revolutionary path of the deeply dedicated, uncompromising warrior scholar who honored our ancestors through what they do and what they say. Affirm, I speak in honor of our warrior ancestors. Affirm, I speak in honor of our warrior ancestors. The Enye Sesem, the daily revolutionary thoughts. I will Monday dedicate the program to Elhaj Malik El Shabazz. So if any of you listening have something to contribute, please give us a call. Please support. Please ask to talk about others. We're going to have a Malcolm X, Elhaj Malik El Shabazz Day, a tribute to that good brother, a man who I admired and respected. In fact, maybe many of you probably don't remember when he died, but just like Dr. King of April 4th, 1968, I remember February 21st, 1965, because I was with my mother and a cousin from Chicago riding in a car, and I heard it on the radio that he had died. And I was getting into, not the Nation of Islam, but I was getting into boxing at the time. And of course, I love Muhammad Ali. In fact, if you haven't checked out the Muhammad Ali documentary on HBO, I'm not sure if it's going to air soon. One of the producers is LeBron James. It's basically, this documentary really is boxing. It's his fights from the beginning to the last fight. It's a two-part piece, about 3 hours, three and a half, something like that long, and his fights. So I was very pleased, to say the least, very pleased. A very good friend of mine sent me some information, and that information basically dealt with, excuse me, that information basically dealt with what Caucasians have done. In fact, it was a nice piece out of the Washington Post, a brief history of the enduring phony science that perpetuates Caucasian supremacy. Now, let me help our listeners out who may be listening for the first time or whatever. What I do, you know, when people say words have power, and believe me, I understand that. And so just like what I said about the word Jagna, as opposed to the word mentor, if you can constantly remember not to use the word mentor, when I know that's what you may mean, but if you can use the word Jagna, you know, that would be fantastic. Just like I don't use the word race, because there's no such thing as race. There's only the human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. Europeans, Caucasians, created the concept of race, the stratification of Caucasoid, Negroid, Mongoloid bull, giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. In fact, globally, to this day, even though they started this back in the 1500s, maybe the 15th century, 1400s, Johann Blumenbach and Carol Linnaeus. So, you know, Blumenbach was, what, Göttingen University or something like that. So, I mean, so that can be pinpointed. It ain't a theory. It can be pinpointed. they came up with this idea. And of course, in an evolutionary sense or in a creation sense, they are the most evolved Europeans, Caucasians. In a biblical sense, they are the creation. And of course, the belief that we were less than human. I can go on and we'll go off into some of this stuff that my good brother sent me. You know, I'll get off into it. And so we have a lack of understanding about what race and racism is, to the point that many people believe that we as African people can be racist. We cannot be racist, even though racism is a misnomer in itself anyway, but we cannot be that. We could be prejudiced, which means to prejudge. We could be bigoted, which means that you don't like anything outside of yourself and, you know, you shun that. Mean-spirited. We could be all of those things, but we can't be racist. Number one, because the idea that one's race is superior over others and those who are in control, they define the narratives. They make the, they do it all. So we don't have the ability to deny Caucasians anything in this society that is theirs. If they want to come into our neighborhood, gentrification. If they want to eliminate jobs or create jobs for themselves at our exclusion, they have. The only thing that I see that we are pretty dominant in, and I like this that Naeem Akbar said many years ago, we can be dominant in any field that we apply ourselves to if there is no discrimination, no hindrance, no bias. Whatever we apply ourselves to academically or physically or any other way, we can be dominant. But of course, in this society, we apply ourselves to entertainment. We are dominant in sports. We're dominant in the entertainment field. I wasn't tripping when those three sisters became Miss America, Miss Teen America, and Miss that or the other. That wasn't no trip for me. In fact, to me, it's symbolism without any true substance. You know? But whatever realm we apply ourselves to, we could be very effective. But one thing that became clear to me many, many years ago is that we did not understand what racism is. Because many of our people said that we were racist. Oh, y'all being racist. No, we can't be racist. It is a human construct. It is nothing scientific. It is nothing biological. It is a human construct. Europeans devised a concept of race, giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. And you can see that being played out today. Even though it was not at the beginning of time, racism or this European construct, an idea, is only like 400-500 years old. It wasn't like that back in the day. No. In fact, there was a period of time that people came from far and wide to sit at our feet. Even the Greeks, even though they lied and plagiarized stuff, some told the truth about who they were, who we were, and what was happening in the Nile Valley when the Greeks came in to study at the feet of African people. So, I came up with this definitions of racism. My good friend, Queenie Fama, may God be pleased with her, she helped me develop some PowerPoints. In fact, one of the PowerPoints that she helped me develop, I'll be presenting, which is a journey to our greatness, an African perspective at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia next week, Friday at 7 p.m. But I came up with these functional definitions of racism because we need to understand what it is, how it operates, how it affects us. Because a lot of times we don't understand. That's like the question what Marvin Gaye posed. What's going on? What's happening? Help me understand what's going on. This is Webster's Unabridged Dictionary's definition. A belief that human races have distinctive characteristics that determine their perspective cultural, usually involving the idea that one's own race is superior and has the right to rule over others. That's what the European came up with, that their race, their idea, because see, when I see the word race, once again, when we say words have power, words have meaning. And of course, here in Western society, in European society, words have multiple meanings. And of course, because of us, some of the words have even changed some of the meanings because of how we are, you know. Think of the word cool or cold, hot. It can have both meanings. Oh, man, that's hot. Damn, it's cold outside. Damn, it's hot. That's hot. Man, that's cold. See? But the bottom line is the language is theirs. They control it. I know people talking about that N word, a word I don't use. I don't use that B word, but I cuss. That's for sure. I cuss. Shoot. My daughter said, damn, you. She said, my daughter said, Daddy, you remind me of that Gladys Knight song. My daddy could swear, I declare. Yeah, I hear you. A belief that human races have a distinctive characteristic that determines their respective cultures. 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 That's what it is. It's not race. It's cultures. And Europeans impose their culture on the world. They've imposed their culture on the world. They were in a medieval, once they came into a dark age, a medieval so-called dark age, when no knowledge was happening in Europe until in the 7th century, 600s, the Moors came into Europe. They migrated in with the spread of Islam. Islam spread throughout northern Africa, and it moved into the southern part of Europe, through the Strait of Gibraltar into that southern part of what is now Spain and Portugal. And so in that area, it was the only light in Europe. Everywhere else, you know, serfdom, peonage, death. And then, of course, the Inquisitions. But after the Enlightenment, when Charlemagne and Martel and others, the European Renaissance came into being, the Europeans became enlightened and they began to explore. Marco Polo goes to China, comes back with pasta. That's why people think Marco Polo was an Italian. That's why people think pasta is Italian. But no, pasta is Chinese. Just like people think rice is Chinese. But no, rice is African. But what Marco Polo brought back that was even deeper was fireworks, which Chinese use for celebrations, and what helped facilitate the Europeans' rise, developing weaponry. One thing I can say about Europeans in their history, looking at them, they have always found a better way to kill your ass. From catapults, crossbows, all kind of torture things. Imagine the Inquisition, you know, what they were able to do. The guillotine. They've always found a better way. Because why? The Europeans' culture is warlike. Let me say this to you. Hopefully you can understand. I'm not giving you my opinion, okay? I don't give you my opinion on this program. This is an African perspective. This is what African people should be thinking and how they should present themselves and how they should, move towards unifying, because that's the only way that we'll So I'm not giving you my opinion because my opinion is profane. I'm trying to give you the information I've been blessed to read and scholars I've been blessed to hear and information I've been able to glean from them, giving you that perspective. Because to me, that is the right perspective. A functional definition of racism. This is Dr. Bobby Wright. I made a tribute to him a couple of weeks ago. Love Bobby Wright, clinical psychologist who coined the term menticide, which is a deliberate killing of a people's mind. And that's what happened. Because we're in a war, brothers and sisters, for the minds of our people. And when you have an idea that you think that you're a racist, your mind's messed up. No, you are a victim. A functional definition of racism could be the oppression and exploitation of a people because of their race. Using this definition, it is very clear that at this point in time, American Africans cannot be racist because of their lack of power to oppress anybody. Caucasians, Indians, Chinese. We can't include or exclude in our communities across this damn country and now even on the continent. People can come into our countries, into our communities and run stuff. Yesterday I was talking to a brother standing in line at the supermarket. I said, wouldn't it be nice, man, if we pulled our monies together and had a supermarket? I mentioned this the other day on the program. A cul-de-sac subdivision, gated community. Wouldn't it be great? Because, I mean, unlike other places, here in Atlanta, you can go to these places and it's all us. In that subdivision with all these nice, beautiful homes, manicured lawns, immaculate insides of these homes are us. Wouldn't it be great if they said we live, you know, 20 miles outside of Atlanta. We live an hour or 45 minutes, half an hour from Atlanta. But wouldn't it be great when we come home, we're going to say we're going to pull our monies together and over this area that is, you know, can be leveled and we could build a mall. We can build a mall there where there's a supermarket, where there's other shops that could provide goods and services for our people. Wouldn't that be great that we own? Because we don't own a damn supermarket here. We're over 4 million people in the metropolitan area. A functional definition. Anderson Thompson, I talked about Anderson Thompson on Wednesday. Dr. Andy Thompson, great man. He made his transition last week. I read some things that Brother Dr. Conrad Wuerl put out. And I read to you his need for the historiography. Anderson Thompson was a beautiful man. Enjoyed him. He had developed dementia for, you know, the last few years. He was in a nursing home, and he made his transition. But he had said this about racism. The direct and overall physical and psychological subordination and subjugation of one's racial group or cultural group. Once again, when I see the word race, like I see the word black, when I see the word black, I automatically put Africa or American African or whatever kind of African they are. If I see the word white, I automatically put either European or Caucasian because they're not white and we're not black. Just trying to help you out with my definitions. The direct and overall physical and psychological subordination and subjugation of one's racial group, one's cultural group, over another for the purpose of the belief supported by religious doctrine or scientific data that either because of heredity, the genes or family, or culture, social environment, the dominant culture in power is superior to the dominated and powerless culture. Dr. Anderson Thompson. Let's break this one down. The subjugation of one cultural group over another for the purpose of the belief supported by religious doctrine. What supports the religious doctrine? Of course, is Christianity. Christianity came up with the idea that there are different races. And of course, they had the Noah story. And in the Noah story, of course, there were only humans left on the planet after God got pissed. God was pissed. He said, man, sin is running rampant. I got to do something. He looked down on the earth. He said, oh, dude, this Noah. I think I like that dude. He's a good man. Hey, Noah, what? It's God. Oh, what's up, God? Listen, man, I'm going to do something. I'm going to cause, because sin is running rapid. Y'all acting a damn fool. So I'm going to cause it to rain for 40 days and for 40 nights. And so I want you to build an ark. An ark? What the hell is an ark? A big ass boat, but man, come on. Here are the descriptions. So I want you to build this big ass boat. Okay, God, I got you. And then I want you to take you and your wife, your three sons and their three wives into the boat. And at the point of time, I'm going to cause these animals, male and female, to come to the ark, come to the boat. And then I'm going to cause it to rain 40 days and 40 nights. You got that? Okay. Hey, God, yeah, people are laughing at me, man, because, you know, I'm right here and ain't no water nowhere. I told you at the appointed time, I'm going to make it rain. Okay, I'm doing it. So, of course, the animals started coming. Then the rain started falling. The boat was on there, and of course he sends out a raven. The raven doesn't come back. That means that the waters and everything are still bad. It's still ugly out there. So what happens? He sends out a dove, and a dove comes back with an olive branch. So there's peace out there. The boat lands. The animals get out, and they go their appointed way. His three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their three wives. And so when Noah made, in celebration, I guess, he made a vineyard, grapes. And what do you get from grapes? Wine. And he got drunk. And so his son Ham saw his father naked, but didn't cover his nakedness and told his brothers. His two brothers walked backwards, covered his father's nakedness. He gets up from this drunken stupor, find out what happened. And he says, hey, you should have covered me up, dude. Well, my bad. Yeah, it is your bad, because I'm going to curse you. I'm going to curse you black and to be servants unto your brothers. And so that's what they take as we are supposed to be servants. We're supposed, black, supposed to be servants. Now, I'm just, you know, paraphrasing all of this madness. It's, I don't believe a word of it, of course, and it's all bull. But it's like I heard some people say, we are cursed. No, brothers and sisters, we are not cursed. We are not cursed. Our woolly hair, our broad nose, the lips, the darkness of our skin is not a curse. Anyway, we have no power to oppress anybody. Anybody can come into the community, set up shop. And the sad part about that, many people who come into our community sets up shops, sets up stores, service station, convenience stores, whatever, and they don't give a damn about our community. It is strictly about getting the money out of our community. They don't provide any scholarships, don't provide any jobs. Anderson Thompson. Oh, that's right. Let me go finish Anderson Thompson. Scientific data. This is where Shockley, others, and what I'm going to read to you after the break, this is where they come in, you know, providing this scientific data, you know, that they have, proving skull size and all this old madness. That either because of hereditary, our genes, no, brothers and sisters, we are the first on the planet. That's why our genes are stronger. That's why, in it, from a genetic sense, that we have, genetically, our genes are dominant. European genes are recessive. That's why dominant, you get dominant. Dominant, recessive, you get dominant. That's why I hope that baby turn out real dark. Get back in some time with his grandmother, and pull out some real dark genes. I love it. Some of them talk, and I heard somebody on there. Isn't it great that the baby is? Get out of here! Hell no. Nah. Or a cultural, social environment, a dominant race is in superior to the dominant or powerless culture. Dr. Malana Karingham, Racism is not an attitude. It is a system of defamation, denial, and destruction of a people's history, culture, and right to freedom based primarily on the false concept. Caucasians divide a concept, giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. It is a system. Because if Caucasians just hated us, we could deal with that. But no, they impose a system on us that causes us to act and behave the way that we do. It is a system that denies us, it defames us and who we are as a people. It denies us the opportunities and, of course, the destruction of our culture, our history, and our right to freedom on this false concept. Francis Cress Welsing. In fact, everybody on this thing is an ancestor except Malana Karinga. Racism, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, which is a global phenomenon, is the local and global power system and dynamic structure and maintained by persons who classify themselves as Caucasian, whether consciously or subconsciously determined, which consists of patterns of perceptions, logic, symbol, formation, thought, speech, action, and emotional response, has conducted simultaneously in all areas of people activity. And those people activities are economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. For the ultimate purpose of Caucasian genetic survival and to prevent Caucasian genetic annihilation on the planet Earth, a planet upon which the vast majority of people are classified as non-white by Caucasians, white-skinned people, and all of the non-Caucasian people are genetically dominant in terms of skin coloration compared to the genetic recessive Caucasian. So when they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of and having sex, rape of the female inhabitants and seeing the offspring didn't look like them, decades and centuries later causing a innate feeling of genetic annihilation. So therefore, I must dominate and I must control. I must dominate and I must control. Oh, we're coming up on a break. Let me get this last one in here, Dr. Amos Wilson. And then we'll take a break, and then we're going to be right back. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, whatever form it takes, whatever it exists, must achieve three major goals if it is to socialize Africans into accepting its natural rights of final authority and primary privilege. It must establish the human racial idea as Caucasians in contrast to Africans. It must proclaim that Africans are innately destined to serve Caucasians and that the fulfillment of their true nature requires their happy commitment to this service. Finally, it requires that Africans be persuaded that they are incomplete without Caucasians and that their highest calling involves the sacrificing of themselves for the benefit. Man, that's, wow. Dr. Amos Wilson's definition is deep. It's deep. But when you have been messed up psychologically as we have, when you look at that definition, you see it being played out. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll get more into this, and I'll get into that the brief history of enduring phony science that perpetuates, you know, Caucasian extremism. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hey, what's up now? Brother, what's up? This is a big party, man. Yeah, brother, like, stop right on. there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
My
listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs here on Time for the Awakening Media on Mondays and Wednesdays. I'm here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but on Mondays and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds. Right after Acres of Diamonds, from 8 to 9, Let's Buy Black 365. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., Relationships with Joy and Troy. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., once again, it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call, and you can join me here right now on this conversation, is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're dealing with a subject that a lot of people can't deal with. And in fact, it's a subject that Caucasians can't deal with. Caucasians suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe that they're superior. And even though there's a plethora of information to prove otherwise, they ignore it, they dismiss it, because their core belief is that they are superior over all the people. So they believe they have cognitive dissonance. They also suffer from European Caucasian fragility. They're fragile. They don't want to hear the truth. They can't handle the truth. They don't want to hear the destruction that they have created. They don't want to hear all the genocide, the murder, the raping, the taking of land, and so forth. They don't want to hear about how it was formed. They just want to believe that it was a good ends, the means to an end, had to be done. The sacrifice had to be made. And of course, the other one is European hegemony. European hegemony. If you don't know that word, it's like this. What the Caucasian says: what's mine's is mine's, and what's yours is mine's. European hegemony. So when you factor those three things and all the other things in, you can see that they have established something to the detriment of humanity. And it's bringing us to the brink of the destruction of humanity. And this is by Michael Ruin, and it's April 30th, I believe, is of this year, coming out of the Washington Post. And the article is: a brief history of the enduring phony science that perpetuates European Caucasian extremism. The mysterious and chronic sickness had been afflicting captives for years, making it way into their minds and causing them to flee from their captivity. Unknown in medical literature, its troubling symptoms were familiar to captors and overseers, especially in the South, where hundreds of captives, people ran away from captivity every year. On March 12, 1851, the noted physician Samuel Cartwright reported to the Medical Association of Louisiana that he had identified the malaise, and by combining two Greek terms, given it a name, dreptomania, drepta, a runaway, and mania, madness. He also announced that it was completely curable. Captives, with their smaller brains and blood vessels and their tendency toward intolerance and barbarism, Cartwright told fellow doctors, had only to be kept benevolent in a state of submission, awe, and reverence that God had ordained. I read that again. Cartwright told fellow doctors, had only to keep us
benevolent, in a state of submission and awe and reverence that God had ordained. The Negro is then spellbound and cannot run away. Cartwright's presentation a decade before the Civil War was part of the long, insidious practice of what historians call scientific racism. The spread of bogus theories of supposed African inferiority in an attempt to rationalize captivity and centuries of social and economic domination and plunder. Here, enslaved people were beneath even the human desire for freedom. They had to be diseased. This thinking would thrive in the 18th and 19th centuries. It would mutate, vary in perversion and perverse. For 400 years, right up to the present day, starting with theories of physical and intellectual inferiority that liken Africans to animals, monkeys and apes especially, or helpless children, it would evolve into inferior African culture and then social inferiority. What African inferiority meant has changed in every generation, but ultimately America has been making the same case, said historian Ibrahim Kendi. Such thoughts exist today with pernicious assumptions about the current nature of African life and African people, still featuring age-old racist references to Africans as animals. It persists despite the advent of modern DNA science, which has shown the concept of race to be fundamentally a social construct. Humans, as it turns out, share about 99.9% of their DNA with each other. And outward physical characteristics such as hair texture and skin color, about which races have long obsessed, occupy just a tiny portion of the human genome. Even so, many Americans, blind to the origins of race notions, think that there's such things as black blood and black disease, and that black people are by nature predisposed to dancing and athletics, Kendi said. These are common ideas, modern examples, sometimes overt, sometimes seemingly springing from the collective American subconscious, underscores the insidiousness of pseudo-scientific ideas about culture that were first promoted in the early centuries. Now understand something, this is not since the beginning of time. This idea, this concept is a more recent concept. Consider comedian Roseanne Barr's use of the ape analogy in a tweet about Valerie Jarrett, an American African advisor to Obama, which led to the cancellation of Barr's ABC TV show. Now considering Cartwright's claim in 1851 that, among other things, Africans withstood the rays of the sun better because of an eye feature like one found in apes. Hey, you know what? I'm laughing because you know how stupid this is. But this was serious. It was serious then, and it is serious today. Cartwright also suspiciously observed that the African man's neck was shorter than the Caucasian's. His bile was a deeper color, his blood blacker, his feet flatter, his skull different. Yet, in addition to his keen eyesight, he had other animal-like senses, smelling better and hearing people better than Caucasians. So he's like an animal. He could sniff. Yeah, right. Like children requiring government and everything, or they will run into excesses. Cartwright said, captivity, he concluded surprisingly, was for the enslaved person a very good thing. It was for their own good. The twisted vestiges of scientific racism continue to inspire Caucasian hatred of and violence towards Africans today. Anyone who thinks that Caucasians and African people look as different as we do on the outside, but are somehow magically the same on the inside is delusional. So says mass murderer Dylan Roof, who in the crude manifesto that he posted on the internet in 2015. Negroes have lower IQs, lower impulse control, and higher testosterone levels in general. These three things alone are a recipe for violent behavior. On June 17, 2015, Roof entered into an American African church in Charleston, South Carolina, and shot nine worshipers dead. He was convicted of the murder, and he was sentenced to death. Self-interest justifications for atrocities against the oppression of African people go back to the 1400s and even earlier with Portuguese defense of African trading, written by Gomes de Zara, wrote Kendi, a professor of American history in Washington, in his book, Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America, which won the 2016 National Book Award. Zurara wrote that captured Africans had lived like beasts without any customs or reasonable beings, only knew how to live in a bestial sloth. Once again, their souls could be saved and their lives improved, he said. They could be saved and improved only if they would succumb. On this side of the Atlantic, Thomas Jefferson played an earlier and highly influential role in the establishment of pseudo-scientific ideas about African people's racial inferiority. On February 27, 1887, Jefferson wrote, then a decade after he wrote the Declaration of Independence, future President Jefferson published his book, Notes on the State of Virginia, an extensive study of subjects, including his state's geography, climate, religion, and its enslavement of African people. The book made clear that when the revered founding father said it was self-evident that all men are created equal, he was not including African people. In general, their extensive appears to participate more of a sensation than reflection, wrote Jefferson, whose livelihood depended on the existence of captives. In imagination that they're all dull and tasteless, this unfortunate difference of color and perhaps of faculty is a powerful obstacle to emancipation of those people. Deep-rooted prejudice, real distinctions which naturally have made and many other circumstances will probably never end but an examination of the one or the other, wrote. It was perhaps the most damaging and enduring instances of scientific racism in American history, Condi said. This was one of the best-selling nonfiction books in early America. And Africans and other anti-racist activists were arguing against Jefferson's theory of African intellectual inferiority in the 1830s. In 1849, Samuel Cartwright was engaged by a Louisiana medical committee to investigate the disease and possible peculiarities of the African population. He seemed well qualified. The 57-year-old native of Fairfax County, Virginia, had practiced in Natchez, Mississippi for 25 years, and his patients included his friend Jefferson Davis, the future president of the Confederacy. The same year the report was issued, he was appointed professor of disease of the Negro at Tulane University in New Orleans. He began his report for the Louisiana Committee by reviewing the anatomical and physiological differences between the African and the Caucasian. Skin color was obvious. But there are other differences more deep, durable, and indelible, he wrote. The membranes, the muscles, the tendons, even the Negro's brains and nerves are a shade of pervading darkness. Then there was the true cause of the enslaved persons, debasement of mind, he wrote. It is the defective hematose or atmospherics of the blood conjoined with the deficiencies of cerebral matter in the cranium that had rendered the people of Africa unable to care for themselves, he claimed. Although Cartwright's ideas were actually part of a long racist tradition, by the time he rendered them, they had a new urgency, said Khalid Muhammad, professor of history, race, and policy at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government. The rise of the movement to abolish captivity created a crisis of knowing about who people of African descent were in the hierarchy of man and what precisely were their capability and what they were capable of. Until then, he said, despite pronouncements like Jefferson's, science wasn't essential to justifying captivity. Now, under that threat, the 250-year-old institution was direly in need of a scientific rationale. This is a great convulsion before us. Joshua Knott, a South Carolina physician, anthropologist, and future medical director in the Confederate Army, told a Southern Rights Association meeting in 1851. It is time that we should arouse from our lethargy and prepare for the crises, he said. Knott offered his pursuit of scientific rationale. Look around you at the Negro, Knott said. Their physical type is peculiar. Their grade of intellect is greatly inferior. They are utterly waiting in moral. They're utterly wanting in moral and physical energy. Embedded within his speech was a not so hidden motive. The institution of captivity, he said, has grown up with us from our infancy. It has become part of our very being. Our national prosperity and domestic happiness are inseparable from it. Around that time in 1850, an enslaved man named Jack stood before a camera in Columbia, South Carolina. His face was deeply creased, perhaps from age, perhaps from long exposure to the weather. He was described as a driver of what was not Pacific, driver of livestock, wagons, people, whatever. Originally from Guinea in West Africa, he was owned by P.F. Taylor Esquire, who had a plantation in Columbia, South Carolina. That March, Jack, who looked about 40, and six other enslaved men and women were brought to the studio to have their photographs taken. They were specimens for the most part, they were pictured naked. The images were made at the behest of Louis Agassiz, a famous Swiss-American scientist and Harvard professor who was studying what was called polygenism. This was the latest scientific tool applied to the idea of supposed African inferiority. The now discredited notion that man sprung from numerous sources and that Caucasians or that cultures could therefore be categorized and ranked. It would carry well into the 20th century. The photographs were designed to analyze the physical difference between Europeans and Africans, but at the same time provide the superiority of Caucasian race or Caucasian people or their culture. Photographer, scholar Brian Willis wrote in 1995 essay on the pictures. In the 19th century anthropology, Africans were often situated along the evolutionary ladder, midway between a classical idea and the orangutan. Such thinking went on the rise in the early 1900s of modern eugenics, the idea that race could and should be purified by selective breeding and elimination of flawed people. In 1916, a New York lawyer and radical theorist named Madison Grant wrote a notorious book called The Passing of the Great Race. Grant, whose father, a Union Army doctor, had earned the Medal of Honor in the Civil War, believed in a rigid racial hierarchy with Nordics at the top and Africans and others at the bottom. Nordics. Negroes have demonstrated throughout recorded time that they are a stationary species and that they do not possess the potentiality of progress or initiative form within. Grant wrote. His book was translated into several languages. One reader in Germany was especially admiring. He, too, amused about extermination, but of a different culture. His name was Adolf Hitler, and he probably and reportedly referred to his copy of the book as his Bible. In 1936, American African sprinter Jesse Owens smashed the idea of Hitler and Madison when he won 4 gold medals at the Berlin Olympics. But Owens' own track coach belittled the success of African runners. It was not long ago that his ability to sprint and jump was a life and death matter to him in the jungle. Yeah, right. Yeah. Even when American, the old notion lived on, and so have many Caucasian societal and economic advantages. Even when America has discarded old racist ideas, new racist ideas have consistently been produced for their renewed consumption. Someday, he hoped, the time will come when Americans will realize that the only thing wrong with African people is that they think there is something wrong with African people. It's what we think. And if we think there's something wrong with us, believe me, we'll act and behave in that manner. But these notions and these things that were written hundreds of years ago are ingrained in the mind of Caucasians. Once again, they develop a mindset that they are superior. This attitude, this cognitive dissonance, prevents them from even dealing with it. That's why I keep saying to us, stop trying to, I don't even talk to Caucasians about this. I would refuse to debate them. I refuse to hear a conversation about them. I'm a cordial person. I like people. I'm a very nice man. I know this. But one thing that I'm not is a fool. And I realize what has happened and what continues to happen until we come to grips with our reality of our situation. Then we can never close ranks, because the only important thing, let me say this and say this clearly, because of this mindset and because of what has impacted us, the only solution, as Dr. John Henry Clark said, is a dynamic Pan-Africanism that is cultural, that is spiritual, that is technical. Preparing the new Africa based on the foundations of the old. That's why in that Inyesesim, when I read that one, Baba Barudi kept referring back to the cultural foundation of our ancestors. But we've been led to believe that we had never done anything, that we're running around a jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, waiting for Caucasians to bring us civilization, and nothing could be further from the truth. But not today, our people believe it. There have been people I've seen and seen on Facebook and other instances where they praise the enslavement, thanking the European for enslaving us. I could be in Africa worshiping a rock, worshiping a tree. I'm so glad now I can worship Jesus. We do not understand the dynamics of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. The reason why I've used that title is because, number one, once again, I say they are not white. They are Europeans. They're Caucasians. And I don't use the word supreme or supremacy, because they're not. But they are extreme. Don't you think what they've done is extreme? Don't you think what they're doing even today is extreme? I use the word racism because they're the ones who created it, the idea of race. They're the ones who perpetuate it. They're the ones who benefit from it. and, of course, privilege. They have established a privilege for themselves. And believe me, as far as I'm concerned, as far as my understanding, there's nothing that Caucasians will do to stop that privilege, even the ones who consider themselves most liberal. Caucasians, they don't want redistribution of wealth because their attitude has, in this individualistic attitude, is that me too, I could become a millionaire. I could become a billionaire. I like the system that one person can amass so much wealth at the expense of so many people. This is an evil system. It's an evil system when somebody has just ridiculous amounts of wealth when they see people living in filth and squalor. It's evil. And yet it has affected the planet. So now you got to have barbed wire around your home. And now some of those billionaires, that 1%, they're going to create their own security force. They're going to have to. Because all these people who have nothing. And when you have some places like Africa, they don't have a safety net. Here they have somewhat of a safety net. So you know, there are going to be those who will advocate of maintaining the safety net. But there's going to be some of them who say, hey, you know, no, uh-uh. That ain't happening. That's over. You know? So. Give us a call. 646-646, good afternoon.
Oshi, what's happening, brother?
Hey, Jay, how are you today? Good.
I'm all right, man. I just called to holler at you, man, to tell you how you doing the great job talking about the daddy. And hey, man, what could you do?
Yeah.
You know, it's something when you could go about explaining to a people how this cracker is no damn good and be able to prove how he uses manipulation to make you feel that you no good.
Right.
That he taught you something. Now, if you look at history, we were the ones who tried to civilize that beast. And in the process, he's turned some of us into uncivilized individuals because of his behavior.
Yeah.
And we still love the bastard.
Yep.
Think that the bastard can do no wrong.
Well, you know, when you were bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of your inferiority and their false sense of superiority, everything that you see on TV, everything you read in the books, everything you learn in school, all of the, everything, man, you know, Jay, it's deep that me, you, and those of like-mindedness can have some sanity based upon what we have gone through, you know, what we had to live through every day. You know, when I came in school, just like when you, I'm in the mid 60s, and I went to school in the mid 60s, you know, and where we were fighting for, you know, having our history. We were fighting. We walked out of school so we could have our history taught to us in school. Well, you know, that was part of the anywhere from 66 to, you know, 70, 72, the movement. That was the movement. And so even at that, I think the problem for us, Jay, is that we assumed that this Caucasian was going to understand our plight. After all, now you could see it on TV. You could see what happened to the brothers in the Freedom Rides. You could see what happened to brothers and sisters on Bloody Sunday when they got that beat down in Selma. You could see a number of things. And so you thought that the Caucasian was going to, you know, have some sympathy, empathy, and understanding, and treat us respectfully. We didn't know. Huh?
He's our moral enemy. There's nothing life-giving about the cracker. I mean, think about this. Just think about this. The cracker treats his own just as bad as he treats us. He'll do things to hurt his own that he feels is going to hurt us more, but in the process, hurt his own. I mean, Tucky.
I guess I lost Jay, but I understand what Jay is saying. You know, you got to look at what was happening in Europe, the origin of Caucasian. Let's talk about the origin of human beings very, 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 very quickly. Human life began in Central East Africa. There's no place on the planet where scientists, archaeologists, paleontologists, anthropologists, those three disciplines particularly, looked and found life created and emanating from Central East Africa. Homo sapiens sapien. Homo sapiens sapien, all the others, Homo habilis, Homo lepithecus, and all those still are in Africa. But Homo sapiens sapiens, standing in the form that you see yourself in right now, migrates from that point and begins to populate the planet. But what makes human beings different is human beings' ability to adapt to environment. Human beings' ability to adapt to environment. And so when we ventured up into what is now called Europe, we got cut off by an ice age. We mutated. We became Neanderthal. We became that. Yes, let's be real. Because of genetic survival. Instead of the slender, long body and dark skin and close curled hair and broad nose, you had a stocky body. You had hair all over you to help insulate you. You had hair going down the back of your neck. So understand, you better have that hair down the back of your neck. Why? Because it is so cold that the blood from your heart has to go where? Has to go where? To your brain. And the only way the blood can go through your from your heart to your brain is through your neck, into your cerebrum, into your brain. So it has to be insulated. So they had all this hair, short body. They had a thin nose to warm the cold air before it got into their lungs. They had real thin lips to hold in whatever heat. This is evolutionary development for survival. That's what human beings, everything on the planet that lives wants to live, and it will change. It will mutate to live, because if it doesn't adapt, if it doesn't do that, it will die. It will die. And so the Africans who left out of Africa and began to migrate north and then to the east, crossing up what is now the Sinai into Iraq, Iran, and that area, into Russia and so forth, into the mountains of China and so forth, and into passing that all the way into the little part of Russia that connects the North America, the Bering Strait, all the way down into what is now North America. These are the human migrations. This is what science believes. Now, if you want to believe in a biblical sense that Adam and Eve did this, more importantly, Noah and his three sons, I just told you that he cursed one of his sons to be black. So I guess from Ham comes Africans, from Japheth comes Caucasians, and from Shem comes the Semitic people. That's what they want you to believe. But what makes human beings different is not that. Is that they have an ability to adapt to the environments they find themselves in. What is a good example of this is Australia. The people on the island of Australia, when the Europeans came there, in fact, there's many today, the Aborigines or the original people of Australia, the indigenous people of Australia. They have what? They have stocky bodies, but they have dark skin. Some even have blonde hair, but they got big noses. Big. Why? Because in that environment, at night, the air is cooling. But in the day, it's hot and arid. So they need the dark skin, the broad nose and so forth in the day. But they need the curly hair and the straight hair at night for insulation. Human beings have an ability to adapt to environment. It is not anything that is superior or inferior. It's adaptability. But the ones who promote this idea of superiority is the European. And he is less than 10. He is around 10% of the population on the planet, but yet he controls 90% of all of its resources and wealth. That 1% who dominates control, I'll venture to say of that 1%, about 95% of the people who are billionaires are Caucasian. And I think there's like about, 1,500 billionaires on the planet, and many more millionaires are made at the time. And yet, these people, they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Listen, y'all, the cracker don't believe in Jesus Christ. It is a tool that they use like everything else. They know that it's not real. They know it's not real. But we think it's real. Maybe because of our condition that we want to, hell, we can't have no salvation, no rest on the earth. So maybe we'll get it in heaven, like the white man said. So we're going to believe in this Jesus. We'll get ours in the by and by. That's sad. That's sad and it's sick. We got Jay back. Jay, go ahead. You got
to cut off. I'm sorry about that, Ochi. I got a call, man. I had to click over. Right thing. But listen, what I was trying to say was that the manner in which they convince their people that they're supposedly better than us is nothing but a tool that they use to control and manipulate them.
Mm-hmm.
To the point to where they're constantly harming them and doing things that's not in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as though they just go along with it. I mean, look at what they're doing in the South in regards to these abortion bills.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me myself personally, I look at it from another perspective. I just think that this is nothing more than a tool that white women are going to use to strengthen their position and put a foot in our ass. Because we're going to go about the business of trying to become allies in this so-called fight, because yes, it affects us on a certain level. But the bottom line is, it's going to be manipulation. And if you know, like I know in history, anytime we've had any form of allyship whatsoever with other groups, we've always been the ones who got the short end of the stick.
Right.
Affirmative action.
Right.
Voting rights, everything. I mean, just look at the position of white womanhood in this country. They got that basic strength position off of the backs of blacks, just like the Freak Nation, LGBT
freaks.
They in the gay mafia, they got it off of our backs. Mm. And we as a people don't understand this. Nor do our leadership talk to us in regards to this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't educate us. That's why it's so important, if you really want to understand the agenda of what has happened towards black folks by this no good, filthy, sticking cracker devil, read the works of Baba Baroni. He hits us every one of these things that are facing us. Homosexuality, racism, all mm-hmm. of the things. And he gives you an outline on how the cracker has gone about doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't understand what's going on, and we don't have nobody educating us, how do we ever expect to get to the next level in our ability to have sovereignty, gain sovereignty, and independence from this cracker? You know what I mean? And then on top of that, the thing that we're not even realizing is we're about to be dominated by someone else.
The Chinese.
Not only the Chinese, the Babylonians.
Yeah. The Latinos.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's deep. See, don't you, because of the simple fact, nobody's teaching us.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing.
Nobody's continuing the lessons that we need to learn for our survival in this country. All parts.
CJ, they made us believe that Europeans and their quest for their domination is tied, and that we're tied to that. That what they have done, we should be thankful. Because we were primitive, we were barbaric, we had no culture to speak of, we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created anything of any kind of any significance. We know it's not true, but we're trained to believe that. And many of us believe that to this day, to this day. And so we think that we're tied to their fate. And so we agree with their narratives. I hate the cracker story. I hate the Bible story because that's not true. I hate their narrative that they show in movies of the apocalypse. That's not true. I hate that they have the ability to project these images and we buy into it. We agree with their narratives and they mean destruction for us. See, my whole purpose of this program is to enlighten us, to open our minds, to think outside of those boundaries that Europeans have imposed upon us. My whole purpose is that the cracker put a vice grip on our minds. And if anybody understands that tool, once you place the vice grip, once you place it, you can't pull it apart. You can be Hercules or whoever. You can't pull it apart. But there's that knob at the end of the handle. And that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self. And as you continue to turn that knob and you get more information and more knowledge and more energized, bam, now you can release the vice grip and see the cracker for who and what they are. Not that you challenge them. The hell with it. I don't want to challenge crackers. I don't want to even talk to them. I don't care. My whole purpose is to waken up our people. Get our people to understand what has happened to us and what we must do for ourselves. It is to a point, I look at it this way, Jay. It is either we unite or we die. Kwame Nkrumah said it, and I've been reading it. That quote, he said, you know, I just, you know, brought us out of, you know, colonialism. So if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front, not a Ghanaian, not a Nigerian, not a Senegalese or Cameroonian, no, a united African front, a common purpose, we will be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. And that is what is happening. So I'm saying is that we have what we need. The only thing that we don't have is our right minds. I am saying that those of us who do have our right minds, let us come together. Let us develop the idea like Baba Baruti is doing in terms of educating our young people, particularly to think in a warrior's mentality, because it is the only salvation. It ain't Jesus. It ain't Christianity. It ain't Islam. It ain't none of that. The only thing is a dynamic Pan-Africanism that is cultural, spiritual, and technical. That's the bottom line. And we need to train warriors and brothers and sisters to think in that way, that we're going to work with brothers and sisters on the continent and throughout the diaspora to control Africans and Africa's land and its resources and be players in this world instead of the damn pawns that we are. And because, see, we believe that our lives are tied to Caucasians. And if you think that you are a fool, and you are going to be in very bad shape, because number one, they have never and will never give a damn about us. They can give less than a rat's ass, but yet we keep holding out hope. I heard Jesse on the other day, man, I honestly, I heard him on Al's show. Did you see this picture of Al? Al doesn't look good, man. He done lost way too much damn weight. His head is so big and his body is so small. I said, damn, Al. You know.
Hey, Brad, can I tell you something, Ochi?
Go ahead, Jay.
Can I be honest with you?
Please always do, man. Because I'm always honest with you, Jay. I'm always honest.
About that Negro. I can care less. You know, I'm going to say this.
Am I muted?
I don't care if people agree or not. Him and Jesse Jackson has done more harm and used black people more than just about anybody I could think of. To go from what they was to who they are and the manipulation, the lies, the deceit, the deceivery, and the things that they've done in regards to black people, I could care less, brother, to be honest.
If Al leaves here tomorrow,
he just leaves here tomorrow. It's no big thing. You know, somebody will hopefully replace him and do a better job. It's not like he's giving black people anything of true value that, no. He's giving that Negro peen something to want, something to, you know, strive for. But the Negro peen is an enemy. It's the sickest of the sickest.
Let me never want to be African. Jay, let me take this call. He's been hanging a while. Caller, 404. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, brother?
Brother Oshie, this is Brother Richard.
Richard, what's happening? I'm doing fine, man.
Very good. I just wanted to touch base and make sure that the people knew about Malcolm X Day tomorrow.
That's right.
And that they will come over to the baseball field and see the Rockets for the children, and that they will also look at the Our Story pictures. I'm going to have some black history, some Our Story.
Oh, outstanding.
Up around my tent.
Outstanding.
I want to make sure any of the listeners with children come over. And I enjoyed what I have heard for the last 20 minutes.
Okay.
I want to interject something that I have not heard. And we keep dropping it on the European, which I do not disagree with. But I've heard some things about religion, but God and their religion is the reason we're in the situation that we are in today.
I agree with you 100%.
I agree with you 100%.
The doctrine of discovery is United States law, and the law has not changed that God told his people to go and enslave the rest of the world and take it over, and they've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep fighting the European, but what about his church and his God?
That's right.
They believe in his church and his God said, kill all the men, rape all the women, and then enslave the rest of them forever.
Mm. Yeah.
I couldn't have said it better.
And so while I'm pointing my finger at a European, the church and the God that he has us believing in is what's impeding our progress.
I agree.
We talk black, and we go back to that Christian religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other issue I want to make is they can cut off our electricity and airwaves at any second.
Sure. You're right.
We can't talk to each other no more.
That's right.
While we're talking about this spirituality and all this other African stuff, how many hospitals are we going to build? How many
schools? That's right.
Are we going to turn on our own electricity?
Mm-hmm.
And I find we got people jumping up and down, changing their names, doing all kind of black backflips. Can't build or work in no hospital.
Yep.
Can't build no electricity system to turn on electricity, but we got all this volume we're pushing. Well, I don't like what they've done to us either, but we ain't going to do nothing about it until we get rid of their God and their religion And then we learn all this technical stuff, like you said.
Right on.
Until we can turn on lights and run and filter the water system for our community, and we just talking about a bunch of nonsense.
And you're right, Richard. I appreciate it.
I hadn't heard nobody talk about the God in their church yet.
Yeah.
Because I find all these conscious Negroes still go back to believing in their religion. All they do is put a black face on it.
Right.
Oh, that ain't good enough.
No, because the foundation of it is theirs. You know, even though that's what you want to do, you know, that's why
that was the control.
Yeah.
That's the master control.
That's the master
control. That's how they control us with the God.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
So
I was just adding that to your conversation because you was going See, I ain't afraid to talk about no church and no God.
And I ain't either.
But think about who they deem to be your leaders. These pork chop chicken eaters, as I refer to them, they're so-called nothing more than the gatekeepers at this time because they're the one saying to just trust in the Sky Daddy. He'll forgive them. He'll do right by them. He'll do all the good things necessary for us to survive. But in the process, what's happening? We're being destroyed. Yep. They don't even come together. Now, this is the deeper thing, brother. Think about this. There's so many different black denominations. I refer to it one way as spookism, Sky Daddyism. They can't even come together as one and agree on nothing. Now, what did that tell you? How could you follow somebody who supposedly believes in the tenet of the Sky Daddy, but they can't even come together with the next person of a different faith that believe in the same tenets of the Sky Daddy to collectively do something for black people? So you telling me a Baptist and a Pentecostal can't come together under the tenets of Sky Daddyism to do what's best for African people and for black people, and I'm supposed to back and support that?
No, you know, because, let me say this to you, Christianity particularly, and Islam, religion, these religions, they don't have a liberating force within them. They are very individualistic.
Not these ones.
No, listen. You're talking about Christianity. What are some of the brothers and sisters say? How you doing? Well, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. I'm highly favored.
Still enslaved.
Exactly.
And you won't. Yeah. And you will not work with your fellow black people to get your ass free.
That's right.
That's right.
Because you're blessed and highly favored.
That's right.
You couldn't even go to. Let me tell you how deep it is. I was trying at one time.
I know it's 1 o'clock. I got to go.
I wasn't trying to keep you over.
That's
time.
Okay, but I got to go, brothers. But I appreciate it, Richard.
All right, Hotep J.
Make sure everybody come by the field and see the Rockets.
I will be there. Thank you, Brother Richard. Thank you, Brother Jay. You guys have a blessed and wonderful weekend. I'll see you tomorrow.
Enjoy the weekend, Otis.
Oh, you bet. I'll see you tomorrow, and I'll see you.
Good to talk with you, brother, even though I've never met you. Good to talk with you.
Right on. All right, Richard, thank you. Brothers and sisters, we will, tomorrow, as Brother Richard said, we will be at West End Park in the West End in Atlanta area. We call it Malcolm X Park. There's going to be an outstanding day. The Last Poets will be there and other entertainment, just as Brother Richard said, all kinds of good things going on to Saturday and Sunday. So we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Brothers and sisters, Bibi Fahodio. Bibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny, and we'll be victorious undoubtedly. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day. See you on Monday. Have a safe weekend. Peace.
Race first.